Good morning, Delaware. Yes, that reminded us again this week that it was winter, didn't it?
I was about to just come in and be grumpy gills and like, I'm done with this.
I tell you that the one decision I have to make regularly during winter that I hate more than anything is whether to close the library and when to close the library. It's just, that's not what we're here for, is to close.
And yet it seems like the schools have no problem closing the schools. They're like, oh, 2-hour delay. No, snow day. Oh, let's do another snow day. No, it's fine.
Okay. And like, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. And I grew up across the street from my school, my Catholic grade school. So like, they closed. If there'd been a nuclear Armageddon, they might have done a 2-hour delay.
We just need to get reset up. Exactly. Just got to reset.
Yeah, right. So it's always been a little. Of course, then I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, where somebody one time said in the weather forecast that it might snow in Georgia, and they still closed the school. So, I mean, it just. Anyway, so. But this was a fun week because there was a fun meme that we saw on Facebook this week that was. And there were two of them very similar, but the one said, whatever was the number one song on your birthday when you were 7 years old on the Billboard Hot 100 is what your year is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And then I saw another one that said, whatever the number one song was when you were on your 21st birthday would be how your year was going to go.
Is it just your year, or is it like a greater portion of your life?
Just the rest of the year.
Just that year.
That's kind of like the rest of the year.
Okay.
So I know you looked up your years. What did you get when you were 7?
When I was 7, it was the iconic Whitney Houston's And I Will Always Love You.
That's a great song.
What a great way to
think about the rest of your year.
And to be 7 years old and just full of love. Yes, absolutely wonderful.
How'd you do when you were 21?
21, another icon of that generation, Beyonce. And this was her single, Irreplaceable.
Oh, my gosh. So you're irreplaceable and always be loved.
Yes.
Mine?
Yes.
21, one of my least favorite Paul McCartney songs, Silly Love Songs.
Oh, I love that song.
Okay, and I'm 7, The Stripper by David Rose.
Oh, no.
What the heck does that mean for my year? Oh, no.
Well,
that's just scary.
No.
I don't even want to think about it.
I was like the toddler phase, like 2 and 3 is when you, like, nakey time.
Yeah, but if you're 7 and you're still doing it, you got problems.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see a 7-year-old have nakey time.
No, I don't either.
I'm sorry, George.
Yeah, well, but I, you know, the great thing, and I love bringing Gage into this part of the conversation, because this has been a great week because of one little piece of technology that only took hundreds of thousands of people and billions of dollars, but man, did it make the world stop and just watch for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Right, Gage?
Yes, it was. That was fantastic.
So let's talk just for a couple of minutes here about Perseverance.
So basically, if you missed it, NASA landed their Perseverance rover on the surface of Mars. It's I think, what was it, a $7 billion project. Mm-hmm. It was very expensive. But anyhow, this rover is expected to look for life and dig for water. And, of course, the cool part about this mission, George, is that there's a little helicopter underneath it called Ingenuity.
Yes.
Where it's going to be the first time we fly another, like, I guess, helicopter-type craft on another planet. Because, you know, Mars's atmosphere is so light compared to Earth, so... You know, we don't know how that works, so we're about to find out.
We're
going to
find out, yes. So,
and it took a 2-year journey, is that right? Or what's the journey?
Six and a half months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's a 6.5-month journey, but then it's going to take another 6.5 months to come back. Do we know how long it's hanging out on Mars?
It's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
But that's the interesting thing, because in 10 years, is approximately, the European Union is supposed to be sending a mission to Mars to pick up the land samples that Perseverance is digging up and bring them back to Earth.
Wow.
That'll be the first time we've ever had anything back from Mars physically.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first sound from Mars, I believe, too, is going to be in this mission.
Yes, but InSight, which is a craft that's already on Mars, has recorded Mars sounds before.
Okay.
But the cool thing about this mission is later on the road when NASA gets the high-resolution video, this rover actually had cameras all over the place.
Oh.
So they're going to release every single footage of basically you're there with the rover landing on Mars.
My God, it's going to be fantastic. Reality.
Yeah.
It's like you can do the Martian.
Exactly.
I think that is just so amazing. And to think you can shoot a craft that far, land it, and I know it was... It didn't just have a landing spot planned.
Mm-hmm.
It used ground radar to figure out where the safest place for it to land would be.
Did you see the radar? NASA released an image where there was two colors. There was blue and red. Blue, you land here. Red, don't land here. And where Perseverance landed, pretty much the entire area was red, but there was one little spot that was blue, and that's where the rover is.
Well, that's amazing, too. I follow someone on Instagram, and she was saying that, you know, Perseverance was supposed to land at 3:55, you know, p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and she was like, it landed at 3:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It took months to get there. It had a specific trajectory. It had all these things that could have possibly gone wrong in space, which I think is terrifying. And and it was going to land at exactly 3:55 p.m. She's like, I couldn't even like make a hair appointment at 3:55 p.m.
I was thinking you can't fly from here to Atlanta and be anywhere that close to midnight.
And the terrifying part is that it takes 11 minutes for a signal to get back from Mars to here. So by the time we go, oh, look, parachute deployment, the rover's already on Mars.
Right, yeah.
It just takes us a while to figure out. Right.
Oh, I did know that from The Martian.
Yes, right.
From the Andy Weir book, yeah.
Yep. So, I love that the 7 minutes of terror, though.
That's right.
When you don't know what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
It was the kind of thing that just made you stop thinking about all of the political crap and about the COVID and everything else and realize just how amazing human beings really are.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. And I think if they actually do find some track of life there, that there had been life on Mars, that when they start digging into this dead seabed and start seeing fossils, that's going to really, that's a Copernicus moment, you know, when we stop realizing the world doesn't revolve or the universe doesn't revolve around us.
Mm-hmm.
So
think about this. When we get there, when humans do get there, we're going to go back and visit these rovers that are still sitting there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to be impressive.
So anyway, I think it's just been so exciting to see that. So, okay, you got a call coming in here?
I don't think that's me. I don't know what that little beautiful chirping is. It is a beautiful chirping,
though. Oh, that's
though.
Me. Sorry about that.
It's Percy paging George. You got that right.
We actually just set up our phone system at the library so that I get my calls at my desk come through my cell phone, and that was what this is. And that's our board president, Michael Butler,
Michael
who should know better that we are on the air right
Michael!
Now. I'll give him a little, I'll raise him a little cane when I talk to him later. So anyway.
Get the George talk, uh-oh.
And actually, I should have given myself the George talk because I usually turn this thing off before I come into the studio. So
it's a very pleasant ring.
So you got a book, an audio winner.
Yes. This is an Audie's nominee. It's in a finalist list, and I listened to it, and it is called, let me pull up my library and so I can get all of the good details. It's called When You Finish Saving the World. And this is written by Jesse Eisenberg, who you might know him from the social network. Yes, thank you. It's really, you know, Jesse Eisenberg has a very specific style of delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't researched him very much, but he can play a character who would be on the spectrum very well. He has kind of some neurotic tendencies. He tends to kind of deliver lines very flatly and matter-of-factly, and he can get across that personality very very well. And so he wrote this book, this When You Finish Saving the World. And what I will say about this is, because it's an Audible original, you can't get it anywhere other than Audible right now, which kind of stinks. I would love to, you know,
I would love to hope
that one day it's going to be on a CD that you could be able to check out from the library or play away or something else like that. In the meantime, you would just have to download it from Audible. But what the idea is it is a kind of a three-act play, a three-act drama, and it comes from three different perspectives. We have Nathan, Rachel, and Ziggy. And Nathan and Rachel are, when we first, they each narrate their own act. And so we start with Nathan, and he basically is sending recordings to his therapist in between weekly meetings with her. So he has a meeting with her every other week, and then on the off week, he does a recording. And the whole reason that he's doing these meetings with this therapist is because his wife, Rachel, has just had a baby, and she is criticizing him of not connecting with the baby. And even early on in his recordings, he calls his own child, who is 6 months old, it. you know, you should probably call your child like he or she or by, or their, name.
Yeah,
right. One of those things. And he just keeps calling it the baby, and it is always doing this and it is always doing that. So yeah, you can get that he's not really connecting.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of that movie, It.
Yeah. Less terrifying, but still necessary. You do need to connect with your, with the child. So in his one act, in his first act, you really see the arc. You really see, the therapist says you need to get in touch with emotions. You need to stop narrating what the actions are of your day and talk about the feelings of your day. If you get in touch with your feelings, then that could help you get in touch with a child's feelings. In the meantime, he also realizes that he's not connecting with his wife. So connecting with your wife may also help you connect with your child. You see this really beautiful arc in his storyline. Then, act two, we jump to Ziggy. Ziggy is the baby who we know at 6 months old in the first act. And in the second act, we meet Ziggy, and he is 14 years old. And he has school-mandated counseling because he punched a kid. And it's in the future. It's 14 years in the future. And everything in the school, not everything, but it, things in the school are automated. And so he has to go and he has to sit in this, like, sound booth basically and hit play and record his feelings, and he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I guess I'm just gonna talk. He immediately comes off as this privileged, pompous, you know, 14-year-old who thinks that the rules don't apply to him, which is probably true of most 14-year-olds,
right?
And he, you know, he's doing all of these backhanded, selfish things that he thinks are really giving for other people. Like, he likes this girl. She wrote a poem. He took her poem and then he wrote it into a song without asking her permission, which could come off as a sweet gesture if he just went ahead and played it for her. But then in his world, he played it on like the streaming music service for a concert for like all these kids in China. And he won, like, he got like $20,000 out of it. And then he plays it for her the next day. And she's like, wow, that's really beautiful. And he's like, yeah, so did the kids in China, thought that too. And she's like, what now? He's like, I'll give you part of the profits. And she's like, oh my gosh, you know. So you see his arc. Why did he punch the kid? Who is he getting in touch with? You see a little bit of animosity toward his mom and his dad, but then knowing his mom and his dad's story, you're like, no, you be nice to your parents, you know, like you want him to appreciate where he came from. Then we get to act three, which is Rachel. And Rachel is, again, the wife. We meet Rachel prior to her marrying Nathan. We meet Rachel when she's in college and she had a boyfriend. And we always hear about this boyfriend that she had in college who was fighting in, we assume, you know, one of the Middle Eastern wars. And we know through the story that she lost this boyfriend. And so what she's doing in her production is she is recording tapes to send to him overseas. And so you hear all of the tapes that she's sending him, talking about what she's learning in college, talking about, you know, how much she misses him. They're pledged to each other. She has a promise ring. He's going to come home. They're going to get married. And then we know how that ends. And she gets a little bit more panicked toward the end because he's not responding to her and she doesn't know why. So we assume what's going to happen. But again, we see how what she's learned in college, what she's learned in her own reflection of talking to him, and how that shapes the rest of her life. So it's really beautiful. Again, it's called When You Finish Saving the World. It's written by Jesse Eisenberg. And then the other two actors in it are Caitlin Daver and Finn Wolfhard. And they do a really phenomenal job. The only thing I would critique about it is the 14-year-old Ziggy. Oh my gosh, he uses this slang, this new slang that's 15 years in the future, and I hate it.
Well, get ready, because that's probably when and Will are going to use.
It's going to come.
Great, thank you. This week I read, for our regular listeners, you may know that every year, one of my favorite authors, Tim Dorsey, comes out with a new Surge Storms novel.
Yes.
And this year was no exception, although for some reason I forgot to pre-order it. So I didn't get it in January when it came out. I just downloaded it last week while I was out and read it this week. It is called Tropic of Stupid, which, of course, is about Florida.
Yes.
You don't even really have to say it's about Florida once you know the title. But in this one, little background, Serge Storms and his buddy Coleman are kind of writers of wrong. although their tactics tend to be a little more violent than, say, Batman. They have no compunction about really taking out permanently people who are ripping off senior citizens, destroying Florida landmarks, doing various kinds of depredations against the people and the landscape of Florida. And in this one, Serge decides, because he has trouble sleeping, so he gets kind of wound up, and he's watched overnight, and he's seen one of these commercials for the Ancestry-type things where you send in your saliva a sample, and they come back with your DNA and give you all these relatives. So he's tracking down all of his relatives. At the same time, an agent from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement has had the same idea to track down a serial killer they haven't been able to find for 20 years.
That sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar, and it's how the two stories interact. And I don't know how he does it, but Tim Dorsey has this amazing way of taking stories that you don't think have anything to do with each other and all of a sudden blending them towards the end, and you come out to this amazing crescendo at the end. Mm-hmm. And this is the way the story goes as well. I am just absolutely enjoying the heck out of this. I don't know how you could make a movie out of this because I can't even imagine how you would track it and how you would justify some of the things Serge does. There is just an episode with a kite with razor sharp twine that just left me, like, sitting in my chair reading this thing with my jaw dropped down to my desktop. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway, Tim Dorsey was knows Florida. I mean, he's lived there. He was the reporter and editor for the Tampa Tribune throughout the 90s. And so this is the 24th of the Serge Storms novels. He's almost, I checked the list, there's been one every year since 1999. Wow. And in 2011, there were actually two, but one was just sort of a long short story.
Novella.
Mm-hmm. For a Christmas story specifically called When Elves Attack. So anyway, I recommend the whole series of Tim Dorsey novels. I think you can get them all through Central Library Consortium, through Delaware County District Library. If you enjoy fun Donald Westlake, that kind of person, you will love Tim Dorsey. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk about some things coming up with our new Liberty Branch Library and some plans that the Friends of the Library have coming up. So please stay tuned. Mac, wake up. You're on the radio.
It's just so nice.
I just hope he's right about that. We get a little rain that kind of washes some of this snow away. Mm-hmm. My dad always used to say, God put it here. God can take it away.
That's right.
So, please.
I think I heard 40s for next week. I'll take 40s.
I can do that. Yeah.
I want 70s.
Yeah. I want 70s, but I'll take 40s.
Well, the people in Hades want ice water.
That's true.
So I want to talk a little bit about something that the Friends of the Library approved at their meeting Wednesday night. And I teased this a couple of times. We are going to have a joint author visit in April. It's two authors, Kate Quinn and Martha Hall Kelly. These authors know each other, and they're sort of going to interview each other for the author visit, with me kind of just fielding the questions in chat and relaying those so that I'll get to interrupt their flow every now and then with this. But I have to tell you, the publishers are incredibly efficient, because Wednesday night, the board of the Friends approved doing this program. This morning I walked into my office, and in my mailbox were Kate Quinn's new book and Martha Hall Kelly's new book.
Wow.
Ready for me to, so I can read them ahead of time to prep for this.
How nice.
Yeah, it really is. They're long.
Yeah.
I'm not used to reading novels that are 500 pages long. That's just not usually my thing.
Mm-mm.
But they look interesting. Kate Quinn's new book is called The Rose Code, and it's about the code breakers at Blinchy Park during World War II, who work with the Enigma machine and start to break the codes there. But then after the war, get called back to find a spy.
Ooh.
And then Martha Hall Kelly's Sunflower Sisters is set in, it looks like, just from what I'm looking at here, probably the 1800s.
Colonial America, yeah.
Yeah, so just looking at the graphics, there's not as much of a summary of the book on this one. But anyway, this should be a lot of fun. So again, this is going to come up on April 28th, I believe it is. Let me just check my notes here. No, April 29th, Thursday. And tickets will be out in April for that. But it'll all be done on Zoom. And again, we'll field questions ahead of time, and then I'll be ready to ask them while the authors are online with us. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, those are pretty popular authors, too. I want to say, was it Kate Quinn who did the Ellis Network?
Yes, it was.
And
another one called The Huntress, both of which were New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah, and I know we've had book clubs that have done the Ellis Network, and Martha Hall Kelly is a name who is very well known in libraries. I've heard lots of her books being checked out and things things like that. So very excited to have them interview each other, give you a bit of a night off, George. Although I will say I'm disappointed because I was looking at some of the advertising that the Friends are putting together, and there's no bundle with Eudora's Yummies with the Beehive Bakery this time. So maybe
we've got time. Maybe we can still work something out.
Maybe we can find something floral, something like with some rose hips or some lavender, some flowers or something like that.
Yeah, that's possible. Or we could call this the Rosé Code.
Ooh, maybe some wine pairings. Yes.
So anyway, the Friends are putting along. They're just chomping at the bit to be able to do some book sales and things again. And we are watching as we talk about, we're going to reopen the library building on Monday, the Delaware Library building Monday.
Right.
The computer room won't be available till Wednesday because we're having some construction work done in there. But that the rest of the library will be open for browsing starting on Monday. We'll be open 9 to 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and 11 to 7, Tuesday and Thursday, just like our current curbside hours.
Mm-hmm.
The week after, that is the week of March 1st, on Monday, Powell and Orange will reopen for browsing, and on Tuesday, Ostrander will reopen. So we'll be back up to full power by the middle of next week, and we will be continuing curbside service.
Yeah.
So if the weather's bad... Sorry, folks at the library. I apologize for saying this. You know, we'll trudge the books out. If you don't want to strap the kids in the car seat, whatever, we will be more than happy to continue to do that. But most people really seem to want to come back in the library and start browsing for themselves.
Right.
So we have a ton of holds waiting to be picked up, and we'll be glad to get those out to you. So we're really excited about that. We're also, like, within days, I'm thinking next week probably, of signing our final contract with Marker Construction, the construction manager at risk for our new Liberty Branch Library.
Woo-hoo! And so what does this contract entail? What are some of the, like, what is significant about this particular one?
The construction manager at risk acts as the contractor for all of the construction process.
Mm-hmm.
So everything from when they start digging out the retention pond to the time when they turn the keys over to us and we open the doors and we start loading in books and furniture and all that sort of stuff, they're responsible for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They work with the steel erectors, they work with the wood, they work with the masons.
Oh, HVAC, I heard,
HVAC,
was in there,
yes,
landscape,
yeah.
HVAC architecture.
HVAC is huge.
Right.
Elevators, all of those different, the trades, all of the things that go into building the building. They subcontract for all of those things. We have input on who the subcontractors would be, but we follow their leads. Most of these are companies they've worked with repeatedly over the years. Marker's doing a lot of work for Ohio Wesleyan University, so they know the people in this area. All of the subcontractors that they have identified that they want to work with right now are Central Ohio. Architect is based in, has their office in Central Ohio as well as Cincinnati. So we, unlike the Orange Branch, this is a real local project.
It's wonderful.
So, and we are really excited because it looks like if we sign this thing next week, like we're planning to, we could be into construction as soon as next month.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it's so exciting.
So snow has to stop. Ground has to, you know, thaw maybe a little bit.
Not really.
Well, yeah.
They can actually do some, well, we can't do it under, you know, 8 inches of snow.
Right.
But once this, it doesn't have to really thaw. Their equipment will tear up the dirt, even if
it
is.
Pretty powerful stuff.
It's not, we don't have permafrost here. It may feel like it right now. Okay, I know we've got at least one really interesting program coming up this week, and I don't want to miss talking about that. And that is our author visit with our youth services co-project with the United Way's Strengthening Families Initiative.
Yes.
An author visit with Amber Smith. Now, this is going to be specifically about Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Right.
So this is really intended for teens. Ms. Smith is going to do a little presentation, not too long. That part will be recorded and will be available later. But then there'll be time for chat with the teens, their parents, the local violence prevention people, and Ms. Smith. That part won't be recorded because of privacy reasons.
Right.
We don't want to violate any teen's privacy or any family privacy for that matter. So, we invite people to come in. We do ask that you register in advance so that you can get the Zoom link to be part of that.
Right.
But there's no charge for it. And I think if you've got a teen, this is a really important program to be part of and to be aware of.
Yeah, this program, so Monday, February 22nd at 7 o'clock is when it takes place. You can register DelawareLibrary.org. Just hit the events tab and then go to the 22nd and you can register. That'll bump you over to the site where you're going to register on Strengthening Families website. And it's going to be really great. We have such a wonderful partnership with the United Way of Delaware County Strengthening Families. Brandy Urban over there is phenomenal. She's also pulling in other helpers from Helpline. They have SARN. It's the Sexual Assault Response Network, and that is our local network for people, mostly people who have already experienced some sort of assault, and you can reach out to SARN, and they have counselors and helpers and volunteers who will help you kind of work through the aftermath of that. But then I think, you know, there's going to be resources that are available for prevention at this discussion. We also have conversations on a regular basis with the Delaware County Prosecutor's Office, Melissa Schiffel over there. And Melissa has wonderful things on her Facebook page. If you go to the Delaware County Prosecutor, Melissa Schiffel's Facebook page, they have a list of resources pinned to the very top of their page that is all about what you can do to make sure that you are safe in your relationship. So if you need to issue any sort of like a stalking order, or if you need to issue just anything to keep yourself safe in your relationship or safe out of an unsafe relationship, her page has all of that information there. So this would be great for parents, great for teens. It's mature content, so ages 14 and up. And really, if you have teens dating younger than that, you're probably like sitting beside them while they're sitting beside their boyfriend. So,
we would hope.
Yeah, so this is for teens as they are gaining independence in their dating lives.
Right, great. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to seeing you back in the library next week and then in the other libraries the following week. So thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, thank you for being part of the conversation. Your excitement
Mars.
About NASA is always fun to talk about. So thank you for listening. Thank you to the Friends of the Library for your sponsorship. And I can finally say it again. We'll see you in the stacks.